What up, friends, and welcome back to the Ricardo Report, high school sports and hip-hop at Fox Sports, 1340 AM. I'm your host, Chad Ricardo. Joining me, as always, I got Rodney Jiggs, Johnson Jiggs. Do we even have to introduce the Redskin fans today? I don't.
No.
Okay, all right.
You would ask me that.
Well, yeah, your Eagles did not fly very much against the Redskins, so I guess we got to do it. Moni Anderson, Darrell Bonk. Miss Moni Anderson, Mr. Darrell Bonk Knight. Welcome to the show.
Hello, yeah. Hello. It feels good to be almost on top, Hundy.
Of course, yeah. Even though the Nationals lost, you know, we're still fighting for DC. Number two, we'll take it.
Wait a second. Are the two of you gloating over being number two? Is that what it comes to as a Redskin fan? Jigs, do you hear this? Happy to be number two. Yeah, that's a loser's mentality if I've ever heard of one before. You all know that, right?
Oh, gosh. Speaking of losers, Lakers.
Oh, man.
Now, my Laker, you mean all of the... First of all, we're jumping sports here, so for everybody else, please do forgive us. But us Lakers, we've got 16 titles. Isn't that more than the playoff victories that you all have combined?
Oh, gosh. Probably. In this millennium, probably.
Okay. All right. Just making sure. But look, some people out there, because unfortunately there's an epidemic that happens around here, the nation's capital, and that is you people are Redskin fans for whatever reason that is. So the two of you, go ahead and have at it. Moni, I know you watched every play. What'd you think of your boys? You almost blew a lead, but almost only counts in horseshoes and hand grenades.
That's right. We're 4-2. We were missing our big man, Jordan Reed, but we still got it done. Vernon Davis stepped in there. James Crowder, Matt Jones, Thompson, Kelly, Deshaun Jackson, Pierre Garçon, everyone contributed. Cousins was even more than halfway decent. We were balanced. We scored more points in the red zone. 27-20 over Philly, and I'm done.
Now, Kirk, I mean, I know that Kirk threw a pick six, and like, I wasn't watching it. I was watching my Giants win, but...
Oh, You heard about the pick six.
I did hear about... If I heard about nothing else, I heard about the pick six. Darrell, now, Monet, as I talk about Redskin fans, I think she's a true Redskin fan. I like to imagine sometimes that you are able to separate your emotion out of the equation. What do you think of you all thus far?
You know, I think the biggest difference that I've seen from, you know, the previous seasons is that we're resilient. I think I kind of touched on that last week where I said that the Redskins, they're winning the close games. They're winning the games that come down to the wire. And I think last week and this week just show, you know, why we won four in a row and why we're off to our best start since 2008.
I really, really hate the Redskins a lot. Jiggs, your Eagles, man, you cut it to 27-20. You had a chance. Carson Wentz. He didn't look as good yesterday as he has thus far in the season, though.
Look, this is what I'm going to say about the Eagles real quick, man. Overall, looked like trash. Like trash yesterday. However, I'm not going to put it on Carson Wentz, man. I think Carson Wentz still played a great game. What I'm going to put it on is that defense looked horrible. All kind of holes all day. The secondary looked like the secondary of old. And I'm going to tell you, man, you kids out there that's listening to the show, when they tell you that it's important for you to be on your P's and Q's and do what you need to do to step up for your team, man, that right guard position, Lane Johnson went out. I mean, the right tackle position with Lane Johnson out, man. Oh my gosh, if we didn't get taken advantage of right there, man. That was the biggest issue of the game, and I think that's what really stalled the offense. And yeah, man, you kids got to do what you got to do because your team needs you.
Now, so, Monet, as a Redskin fan, now, you all are 4-2 right now. 4-2, right?
Right.
What do you predict you all's final record will be as of right now? Yeah, look, I'll cut the recording off, so I won't bring this up later on. What do you predict you all's final record will be?
I predict about a
10-6. 10-6?
10-6.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right, I'll take that. D, what do you say?
before the season, I said 9-7 again, so I think I'm going to stick with 9-7.
Okay. My Giants, we're going to go... Never mind. I'm just going to move right along here. Look, here's the deal, though. One of the other things, and Monet, we're going to talk more about this a little later on. I know that you were at the DeMatha Gonzaga game this weekend. Darrell, the alumni of Gonzaga, D, we'll talk about your pick going in the wrong direction a little later on as well. But, Monet, you sent me a message, and you let me know that some of the fans of Gonzaga, that they were making a chant that was a little bit unsettling to me about a couple of or one of the DeMatha players. Is that correct?
Yeah, you know, and D, those are your boys. I know those are your boys in purple. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you said it. You said it in our group message. You said the Gonzaga fans, they come out. And they absolutely did. That stadium was packed. There were mostly Gonzaga people. I mean, that's Duval's area, so I expected that. I mean, everywhere from the apartment buildings to the wall, it was covered in Gonzaga fans. And, you know, of course, DeMatha fans as well. But the student section was fired up. I mean, the most I've seen a student section fired up. I think they are number one right now in my book for the student section. But towards the end of the game, when it didn't look so well for Gonzaga, they started heckling one particular athlete from DeMatha who, you know, he's great for DeMatha.
He's a big-time player. Big-time player.
Yeah, big time. And they started saying that athlete can't read. That athlete can't read. And they were saying it over and over. And I'm looking at the other photographers and other media people, and we were all kind of shocked because Gonzaga, you would think, indeed, you can back me up on this, they have a certain kind of
mystique.
They want to represent themselves in the right way.
And so
I thought, does Gonzaga staff and parents, do they condone this? And it went on and on and on. And the student athlete, he laughed. He was actually laughing, and it was very quiet at the time because there was a timeout being taken. So everyone heard this.
Right.
And his teammates looked at him, and they all kind of just laughed. So I had a conversation with him afterwards, and I said, how'd that make you feel? And he said, well, you know, it didn't make me feel any type of way. He said, I actually liked it. He said, it motivated me.
Well, and you know, I think that's the line that we're talking about here, because as you were at a really strong school, you would think strong academically, you'd think strong socially in Gonzaga. On Friday night, I was at a very similar school in McDonough, and I heard McDonough's student section saying some of the same types of things or exhibiting some of the same types of behaviors towards the St. Francis Academy players. And there are a bunch of similarities between DeMatha and St. Francis as well, if you catch my drift right here. So what I want to know from you all, and Darrell, we'll start with you because, again, you are a Gonzaga alum. Other college schools that I think of with the same thing, I think of a Duke. You know, Duke has a great student crowd, also a big-time heckling crowd. You think of a UVA, Jiggs, you went there. You've got all of the student-athletes in their blazers and in their khakis and everything else may heckle a little bit. Do we feel as though this is all a part of the game and part of good fun? Because I think 10 years ago I'd have said it was all in good fun. Or is there an element of it that crosses a line?
Well, I think that there's a lot that is good in terms of cheering and chanting. You know, at a lot of games, you see one student section, they may say, we can't hear you, and then the other student section will respond. It's a back and forth battle throughout the whole course of the game. But, you know, like I said, chanting and cheering, that could be fine. But when the heckling comes into it, I think that's when it crosses the line because it gets personal, like the example you and Monet just gave. And when it gets personal, you know, it gets controversial, then it goes back to the parents, and it looks bad on the school and the team and the organization as well. So I don't like the whole heckling aspect. There was actually a basketball game, I believe it was a little over 2 years ago, and the one team's fans were heckling another team's player, and the player happened to wear braces, and while he was shooting free throws, the team went, he wears braces, and they would clap and cheer after that, and they would go, he wears braces. And the player had the same response as the DeMatha player. He kind of, he smiled and laughed it off and showed his braces and went back to shooting his free throws. But I think that's where it crosses the line. You know, it can be entertaining, it can be fun, but you have to understand that there's a personal level involved in all this.
I think that that's the thing for me as well, is again, from the outside, when we're talking about professional teams, because you see this very frequently with professional athletes and fans, they say, they yell whatever they want to occasionally, which we saw in the playoffs or into the regular season a couple of weeks ago. A fan in baseball threw something as a player as he was trying to catch a ball. Professional athletes are harassed by fans when they're out, you know, at bars, etc., which sometimes leads to fights. But at high school, I don't think that there's a place. Jiggs, are we getting old? Are we getting old right now? Are we getting old, or do we have valid points? Which one?
No, I mean, I think these are valid points. I think the personal attacks, honestly, I think the personal attacks have no place on the field. You know, because these kids are out there, they're trying their best, they're doing what they can, you know, to help elevate their team. But I don't think that the personal attacks belong there. You know, there's certain things that I guess I would be, you know, accepting of, which, and then I could be wrong in this, but you know, if the quarterback's making a bunch of errant throws and all of a sudden the crowd starts to boo and they say put somebody else in, I mean, I think that type of heckling is more acceptable.
Absolutely.
But when you get it on a personal level, I mean, I think that's when you start to look at it as a bullying situation.
Correct.
I mean, so we have to be able to walk that fine line and understand the difference between the two, and I do think that it should be addressed by the school at some point in time.
And you know what? Because look, I wasn't going to go here, but this is Monet. This is the Ricardo Report, and we like to keep it real. Is that right?
We do.
We like. Okay, so let's keep it real then. D, is it accurate enough to say, Darrell, that to some extent Gonzaga is a bit of a blue blood type of school? Is that safe to say? It's a school of prestige. It's a school of honor. It's a school of integrity and dignity. Is that safe to say?
Yeah, because anytime you mention the word or the school Gonzaga, everybody says, "Oh, I know of Gonzaga." They know of it in some way, shape, or form. So yeah, definitely.
So from some regard, my main issue with this, because Jigs, so the point that you made, if fans are booing, if they're booing poor play, I got no issue with that whatsoever. Even if they say you stink, and if we go R-rated and they say you suck, I got no issue with that whatsoever. But when we're speaking about a student athlete, and I stress student athlete, but when we're speaking about a student athlete who is a black student athlete, and with all of the stereotypes and everything else that's out there, that when you speak about this student athlete and you don't look like him, and your words are you can't read, right, to me, that strikes as something that's more than just a football game. Am I wrong in that?
I agree with you 100%.
Yeah, the way people would take it, yeah. Go ahead, Rodney.
Well, Monet, you were there though. You were there. So I mean, so am I reading into this? Am I? Because I also don't like when people read into stuff too much and make something racial that's not racial. You were there. What are your thoughts?
Well, yeah, you know, I'm kind of into what you're saying now, because that had nothing to do with what was going on at the time. You know, it was not a spelling bee. It was, you know, so I was trying to figure out where they were going with that. Can he not read a play? Can he not read the playbook? I was confused. I said, maybe it's just me. But one thing, one of the gentlemen standing beside me said, he said, well, you know, it kind of gives him thick skin for later on in life, which, yeah, it definitely does give him that thick skin and start to build it. But my thing is, kids are off limits. Now, once they reach 18 and they're adults, okay. But kids, I don't care if it's kids are off limits. Stay in the kids' lane and be as kids should be. They were kids heckling another kid. I don't think it was right. Like you said, Chad, a form of bullying.
I feel as though it has racial undertones or potentially racial overtones to it. And you know, Darrell, I think you should call the school and find out, man.
You know what? And it did happen when I was there. Not only, you know, at Gonzaga, but at a lot of different schools, because most student sections have an administrator or a security officer who stands there and monitors the kids, you know, while they're cheering or at the games. And there were times where I saw at multiple schools that it had to be stopped, that the chant went way too far out of bounds.
Right.
And I also think that sometimes the fans and the students, they have this perception that the student athletes are in some way invincible.
Correct.
Because they stand behind this veil, which in this case is a helmet on a football field, and that they tune out all this noise. But like I said earlier, it's more of a, it's a personal thing.
It's a personal thing, bro. It's a personal thing. I agree.
And it's not, and it's not just that, Darrell. It's just that also that the people in the crowd are an audience, and they're looking at somebody performing on the stage. And the way we view people performing on the stage, they're supposed to be invincible in that sense, that they can't hear what we're saying to them. They can just make these statements and it doesn't affect us. But what they don't know is that, you know, these kids, especially what Monet said, they're kids. They hear this stuff, they internalize this stuff, and it can affect them. And people have to be conscious of that.
I agree. And again, I just to go ahead and put it home, especially when it is a group of predominantly Caucasian blue blood students, when they're saying something such as "you can't read" to a big student athlete who's black and has braids, to me that speaks of something more. But that's, we'll leave it right there. We'll leave it. Anybody got an issue with that, give me a call. Find me on Facebook, find me on Twitter. I'm here. We can talk about that more. But moving on to some other outlandish things. You know, guys, we talk sports, man. That's what we do. We're not a political show. But as we know a little earlier, Donald Trump in his words about members of the opposite sex, he brought up the whole idea, oh, this is just locker room talk, which then opened the door of, oh, well, what is exactly locker room talk? Now, I know that all of us, in some regards, spent time in some locker rooms. Jigs, you and I, we had lockers right next to each other, bruh, and I don't ever remember you saying anything quite like that to me before, brother. What locker room talk? What is it, and is that what Donald Trump said?
Man, listen, I don't remember you saying anything like that. I don't remember any of my teammates speaking about any females like that. And I'm gonna be upfront here and let the parents know and the guys know that, you know, there is locker room talk.
There's a lot of things said in the locker room, bro.
There's a lot of things said in the locker room, and some of them have to do with young ladies. But I think that there's a difference when you're talking about assaulting a young lady versus when you're talking about a young lady, which neither one am I condoning.
Right.
I want to put that out there, but to be realistic, you know, there's certain types of talk, and then there's other talk that somebody has to definitely check, because it's speaking about actions. It's speaking about things that are not necessarily invited, such as what was said. He said, I, you know, just walk up and I just start kissing him, or I go up there and I just grab him. That's definitely not condoned in no way, shape, or form, because that's not just talk. We're talking about actions, and that's not cool. And guys, fellas, young ladies, whoever's in the locker room, whoever you're in the locker room with, and if you hear somebody talking like this, you need to step up and say something and not be a part of that conversation.
Monet, what was your take on it? Because you are the woman of the Ricardo Report, you know what I'm saying? So you do put on, but beyond that, you spend a lot of time, because you play flag football. You and Jigs, I think you line up next to each other. You play flag football, man, and you're out there with a bunch of guys. You're out with our student athletes. Were you offended by this, or is it just guy talk? Because guys do say some things, and I think that women do as well when they're just by themselves.
Yeah, I think so. I know so. And Chad, you said something that for me has probably made me a little more numb to a bunch of guy talk, because I've been around so many guys playing the football, being around, especially now, you know, I'm standing there amongst a bunch of high school football players a lot of times. So, you know, I kind of turn a deaf ear to a certain point. You know, I know the guys are going to have their fun. You know, they see a good looking woman or, you know, whatever. I know the comments are going to be there, but anything that becomes insulting or degrading is where I draw the line. I know that the talk is going to be talk. Heck, we do it. Women do it.
Absolutely.
You know, we see a man with, you know, something nice going on, we say whatever we say. But the degrading part of it is where you got to draw the line right there.
Right. D, where is that line?
Yeah, I agree with Jigs that the line is drawn when you start to offend women or insult them in a way that's really degrading. As Jake pointed out, Donald Trump said that he would just start kissing women, or he would just go up and grab them, and that nobody would really care because he was famous. So the line is drawn. It's pretty clear when the line is drawn, because if it doesn't sound right, coming out of your mouth, or when you hear it, then it's not right at all. So that's where it's drawn.
And I think that, you know, just to put my two cents in here, I mean, look, let's I'm going to be honest, I'm going to be real. There are some things that I have said that I wouldn't have wanted an open mic to catch. I've said some things that are, I've said some things that are crass before, you know what I'm saying? Like I have. I've not in the last 2 years. You know, I'm a happily tamed man. But previous to that, you know, I've said some crass things. But I think that one of the largest differences is that what he said is that he actually does these things. Mm-hmm. Not what I would think about doing, or what I thought about doing, not thoughts that ran through my brain, but here is what I do, and I can get away with them because of who I am. And I don't care if you're Kobe Bryant, LeBron James, Deion Sanders, that's not the right way to live, speak, or act. Sports and hip hop at Fox Sports 1340 AM. Chad Ricardo, I'm here. Miss Monet Anderson right there. WCAC Insider Darrell Balknight. Darrell, don't act like you don't hear me here, man. I know you don't want to talk about this, man. I know you don't want to talk about this, but what happened to your Eagles, bro? What happened?
I mean, I gave them the 50-50 shot because of what they did last year. And I think that whenever Gonzaga plays DeMatha, there's always that threat. Not taking anything away from DeMatha, because obviously I still think they're the best team in the conference, but, you know, the Eagles played them tough until late when DeMatha's at its best. You don't want to play the Stags when it's after halftime or late in the fourth quarter, so that's when it all
unraveled. No, and I'm joking. Your boys did play well. I mean, Monet was there, so we're gonna go for you for the particulars. But D, I think that you make a good point. I mean, this DeMatha team, like we've talked about, man, late in that third, late in that fourth quarter, they got this will. They've got this will to win. They believe that they're going to win every close game because they've done it before and they've been down this road before. Monet, you were there. Take us through it. What did you see?
Yeah, I'll take you through it very quickly. You know, guys, I haven't been big on Gonzaga since that loss to McDonough. I just was not convinced that they would have it to give this season. But seeing them in person and seeing what they did from the start of the game,
right,
convinced me that they are here to play. They are here definitely to play. They're here to be in the mix of it, and they're here to go after a championship as well. They came out, and the defense, as I told Chad, was stifling. It was smothering. DeMatha could not get the run game going. They couldn't get their passing game going in the first half. 3-3 was the game until right. third quarter. I don't know what Coach Brooks went and told those DeMatha guys, but he put his foot down for sure, because they came back out in force. And I'm talking Corey Sproul, Miles Marie, Tay Hellums, and Bo got out there and got in that end zone like they should have. Sproul and Marie combined for 216 rushing yards and one touchdown. Tay Hellums, 11 catches, 70 yards and a score. And then Bo, of course, snuck in there. One thing that I did think was missing in this game is that I think Bo is still nursing that injury. He did not run as much, which, you know, he contributes at least two touchdowns per game.
Correct.
So not having him having the ability to do that, you know, it kind of hurt DeMatha, you know, starting out. And I think all across the board, not having a mobile Bo kind
of
hurt.
Right. Well, and so much of their offense is they run it out of that read formation. You know, they go in the shotgun, fake the ball to Sproul. Bo can keep it, or they fake it to Sproul. They throw a screen out of it. They fake it to Sproul, fake a screen, and then throw downfield. So when Bo can't run, that read option is not really a threat because he's not going to keep it. So that limits their playbook so much. But just to your point, Monet, again, just having Bo on the field and having that experience, having that leadership, that ability, because and we don't take anything away from Ty Leonard, because the young man, like you, Spo, you raved about him last week and the way that he played last week. But to have your leader on the field in a tight game, in unfriendly confines the way that they did, that speaks a ton. And the last thing that I want to say is we talk about all of these skilled players, we also got to give credit to that DeMatha offensive line. DeMatha offensive line, man.
Most definitely.
Yeah, and you know, I want to speak on Gonzaga. They came out, like I said, and did their thing. Sam Brown, Max Fisher, Tyree Randolph was a monster, as he always was. And Coach Brooks says, he said, you know, I knew we weren't going to be able to stop him. We just wanted to have the ability to slow him down a bit. You know, he knew that he was going to get off and do his thing, which he did. But, you know, it just didn't equal out to a win this time.
All the love in the world for Tyree Randolph, Max Fisher, man. Got all the love in the world for those guys. D, I know you were watching. Were you able to watch it from your dorm room, or were you being updated by us?
Both. Yeah, I got obviously all the intricate details from Monet, but they had a little bit of a live stream going on, so I watched a little bit of that.
Okay. Did it ruin your weekend?
No, because I went to Central Park for the first time, so it was good. My weekend was fine.
Okay, all right. Good. Well, what ruined my weekend, Psych? It didn't. But good counsel. Them boys, them dogs. I mean, not only did they beat McNamara, but they put it on McNamara. Darrell, you never wavered. Listen, okay. I got to give myself a little bit of credit. I'm going to give myself a little bit of credit, then I'm going to let you all take all of it. So, number one, I initially called the DeMatha Gonzaga game 24-14, and it ended up 23-13. So, I think I deserve a little bit of credit for that, although I changed my score right before.
You did.
But, Monet, you told me I couldn't change my score. You told me I couldn't change it.
Why right before the game? What was going on? I need to know.
Well, we'll speak more about this a little later on, but the reason why I extended my score is because I saw St. Francis and what they did to McDonough the previous night. So my thought was that if Gonzaga lost to McDonough, then they might not have even belonged on the same field as DeMatha. But boys, they came out and played. The other brief point, I know that Good Counsel, I know that I'm not a fan favorite over at Good Counsel. I know they love both of you more than me, and I'm fine with that. But I just want for Good Counsel to remember at the beginning of the season that I'm the one who said that this team would play strong this year. That was me that said that, not you. Okay, all right.
Monet, that was you, Chad. That was you. We had our doubts.
Take credit for it, though, because you believed in him. Darrell has believed in him in the last 3 weeks. The two of you, go ahead. Speak about him. Go.
Well, Chad, you know, and that's one thing I speak to, that we can't just sit back and look at what the post writes in their, you know, previews. And we got to get out there. We got to get out there and see these guys on our own, because on paper always doesn't equal to what they're actually doing on the field. So Good Counsel, they're going to be in the mix. I think they're going to stay in the mix. The amount of talent, of course, you know, they're going to be there. Travis Nannen, Muhammad Ibrahim, this past weekend, 29 carries, 175 yards, 3 touchdowns. I mean, what can you say about that? Of course, Jonathan Donlin's out there. Josh Pascal, they said, was an absolute beast this past weekend. So, you know, okay. Yeah. Those guys are going to be here. They're going
to
be in the playoffs.
No doubt. And I believe that Ibrahim is on his way to breaking one or two huge good council records as well. So definitely shout out. Congrats to that young man for his entire career as well. D, this is what you expected out of them. Do you think that they're going to take this and turn it on for the rest of the season?
Yeah, I think so. You know, 43-0 over McNamara. They had a big win the previous week as well. And I think that, especially with this game they played this past weekend, it's going to give them a huge momentum boost, not only for this weekend against Gonzaga, but for the rest of the games they have to play. So I think they can definitely ride this streak into the playoffs. Okay. And they're definitely in the mix, like Monet said.
Listen, I know that, when I say something, I'm going to step up and say I said them. I know that I said that this team was dead. I said that. Here's the deal, though. It's starting to look a lot better for them, and not just because of this victory, but because of the way that some things have shaken out, all right? So they lost. They lost to St. John's. Obviously, nobody's gonna blame you for losing to St. John's. That's for damn sure. And then they lost to Bishop Sullivan on the road the week after that. Well, a couple of things have happened since then. Number one, Bishop Sullivan, their second loss came to St. Francis. This St. Francis team is real. Okay, this St. Francis team is very, very real, which speaks to how good, and they beat Bishop Sullivan in the last second. So that speaks to how good this Bishop Sullivan team is. The other thing about Good Counsel is that they also beat Spalding in week one. That Spalding team is really good. So I was too hard on Good Counsel. I apologize, guys. Welcome me back to at GC Football. I love you guys. I just, you know. maybe they'll like me by season's end. We'll see. But D, here's the deal. Now, we talked about Good Counsel. We talked about Gonzaga. These are kind of your two horses a little bit. I know you sometimes like DeMatha, but, you know, we know you got them picked, man. Here it is. Big game this week. Good Counsel. Gonzaga. Who do you got? Tell us why.
Well, I think, like I've been saying the past few weeks, that these teams are going to finish 3-4 in the conference, respectively, and both are going to make the playoffs. Good Counsel is going to make it over McNamara, which was a potential pick.
That was my pick. I admit it. Go ahead.
Yeah, exactly. But I think, like I said, going back to the momentum Good Counsel has gained over the past couple of weeks, I don't see it stopping or slowing down anytime soon. I think going on the road is going to be tough, as it was tough with DeMatha this weekend against Gonzaga on the road. But I'm taking the Falcons. I think it's going to be not too high scoring, but low scoring. I'm going 23-21, Good Counsel over Gonzaga. I think Bob Malloy is going to coach a great game. Ibrahim's going to have a huge game. It's going to be back and forth. It's going to be physical, really tough. But I think in the end, Good Counsel is going to figure out a way to pull the game out and keep their season alive.
D, you do know that they're going to come and take away your library card, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Just making sure. You heard it here first. Darrell Balknight says the Good Counsel takes it over Gonzaga by a final score of 23-21. Going to let you off of this line here, Darrell Balknight. But before, want to give huge shout outs to Chase Young, defensive end, one of the best in the nation of DeMatha. Today, it is Monday. Today, he was honored as an Army All-American. So definitely huge shout outs to Chase Young.
Absolutely. Congratulations.
Chase.
Hey, little mama, would you like to be my sunshine? We touch my game, we gon' turn this to ice on my neck, cost me 10 times 3. $30,000 for a new rocket fleet. I just hit Rodeo and I spent like 10 G's. I just did a show and spent the check on my mama. When I go and vacay, I might run out the Bahamas. And I keep like 10 phones, then I'm really never home. All these new clones trying to copy what I'm on. You get your own, trying to pick a new bone. Back to Brother Skip, boy, I had a good day. Metro PCS, trapping bone, making plays. 50 Shades of Grey, beat that pussy like Hulk Hogan. I know you know my slogan, if it ain't about guap, I'm gone. Hating cause I'm chosen from the concrete I had rolled. Shorty staring at my necklace cause my diamonds really froze. But that in her Bet she feel it in her toes. I'm a real young from the sixth throwing balls. I'm a real young from the sixth throwing balls. Real young from the sixth throwing balls.
High school sports and hip hop. This is the Ricardo Report. Coming out of that WCAC talk, we always love it. Myself, Chad Ricardo on the line. Monet Anderson on the line too. Bringing on Josh, JVE Lloyd, and producer Jaron Glover. Got to recap a couple of the games that we personally had an opportunity to watch last week. I want to start down there in the Northern Virginia area. It was potentially the most exciting game from beginning until end. Monet Anderson, you were at CD Hilton at Colonial Forge. What'd you think?
It was a great game. It was everything that it was hyped up to be, Chad. Forge over Hilton. Forge coming in as the top dog. Start out by saying that Hilton cut down on their penalties, which I spoke about last week's show, which was absolutely their Achilles heel. They did cut down on those this week, so that was a good thing for Hilton. But in the end, the kicker just couldn't get it done. His field goal was blocked. Got to give big ups to a lot of those guys on both sides of the ball. These kids were out here just gunning for a win. On the Hilton side, Ricky Flay, 22 for 148 yards and one touchdown. Mike Collins out there, Mike Collins, absolute beast. He was 9 for 109 yards, two touchdowns. Mickens, Deshaun Mickens, love that kid. He was 2 for 76 and a touchdown. Brandon Benson went 4 for 11, 60 yards and one touchdown. On the winning side, the Colonial Forge, Antonio McCray went out with an injury. He was ran for 8 yards, ran 8 times for 45 yards and a touchdown. Once he went down, Ernesto Brown came in. He carried 6 times for 33 yards. Ethan Garwood, he was 12 for 19, 132 yards. The kicker missed an extra point and a field goal for Colonial Forge out there, which, if they lost, would have made the big difference. But they ended up winning in the end. It was an absolute great game.
That's right. We need that CD Hilton team to win a huge game, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, we do. Speaking of big games, Josh, JVE, Lori, you saw potentially the biggest performance of any individual player in the DMV. Tell us about it.
Yeah. Okay, so I got to check out the Wilson Tigers as they played the Blue Knights in the DC game of the week. It was a fantastic game by the Tigers. Everything went right for them. They ended up winning 53-22. Ordinarily, that would be the story, but it's got to be Mr. Steven Williams Jr. He went 24 for 33, 445 yards, and 6 touchdowns. And on the receiving end of 5 of those touchdowns, we've got wideout number 17, Caleb Coleman. I believe I'm pronouncing that right. Caleb, if I did not, please hit me on Twitter at @JILORI_22. Also, our main man, Sean Savoy, did his own thing, had a rushing touchdown and a receiving touchdown.
That is definitely what's up. JG, Jaron Glover, I wanted to know whether SoCo could score over 50 in 5 consecutive games. They did. Tell us about it.
Oh, they did it, but it wasn't just offense this week. It was defense. Kobe Ryan had a fumble return for a touchdown, and then their middle linebacker, Burroughs, had about a 90-yard interception return. He got hawked at maybe like the 2 or 3 yard line, but I just want to credit him for even taking it that far and getting his team down there to punch it in. I mean, South County blew them out again this week. South County has scored over 50 points in the last 5 games now. Your boy Jack McDaniels threw 3 touchdowns, 216 yards. He just spread the ball around. They got it done.
Yeah, and it's one of the things that I said is that if I had a Heisman vote, if there was a Heisman in the state of Virginia and I had a vote, it would go to Jack McDaniels. Love the way that that young man has shown up and taken advantage of his opportunity. We asked questions about this SoCo defense. It's also good to see that defense getting the job done, keeping up with the offense.
Speaking of defense, I want to shout out to Christian Massey for committing to SFU this past week, so congratulations on that. Yeah.
Yes, sir. Love to see our young men not only do it on the football field, but also take it to the next level. Get that college degree. Christian Massey, you are an excellent young man. I had the opportunity to be at the St. Francis Academy game as they knocked off McDonough. And I got to tell all of you, the game was not as close as the final score indicated. That's no disrespect to McDonough. That's no disrespect to Team Ellis, because DeJuan Ellis, if one player from McDonough showed up to play, it was DeJuan Ellis. He did his best to keep them in the game, but I'm telling you all, the St. Francis team is for real. Gary Brightwell Jr., if you don't have him on your board for the top five running backs in the state of Maryland, he needs to be. He's an absolute animal out there. Randy Fields, if you don't have him on your board as one of the top wide receivers in the state of Maryland, he needs to be. He's an absolute animal out there. And all of the college coaches, all of the recruiting quote-unquote experts out there, if you don't have Isaiah Robinson as one of the best quarterbacks in the entire region, you're lying to yourself. Henry Russell has this team rolling, and I'm telling you, this team, I am going to call them the Damatha of the North. That's how good St. Francis Academy is. Put something on it. Go tell them. Run tell that and tell them I told you so. You heard it here first from Chad Ricardo.
Hey, Chad, I gotta make a little correction on that Forge Hilton. The missed field goals were by Hilton, so if he would have made those field goals, he would have come back. You know, a lot of notes, a lot of games this weekend. So Hilton's field goal kicker missed two extra opportunities, not Forge's.
That's okay. Look, Monet, you got it right in the end. And speaking of getting it right in the end, hey, Josh, you said that that Bishop Sullivan was in for a trap game against O'Connell, didn't you?
I said it had trap.
Didn't you? You said something. You said it was going to be.
Talk to Jaron and have Josh, him up that clip.
Josh, you said it was going to be. You said it was going to be closer than we thought, right? I mean, what you think?
It could be.
Okay. All right. Bishop Sullivan Catholic, you know what to find.
Nothing can stop me. I'm all the way up. Shorty, what you need? My nuts run game, we ain't never leave. Counting up this money, we ain't never sleep. You got V12, I got 12 V's. Got bottles, got half. I'm all the way up. Shorty, what you want, I got what you need. Shorty, what you want, I got what you need. Shorty, what you want, I got what you need. I'm all the way up. Rolexes, kicked the bitch out the room and gave her no breakfast. Had to stash the jewels, these bitches so reckless. Keep my so cruise, I'm talking naughty uptown, showing off for new things. Couldn't take it all, so I gave her un chain. She called me top shot, so yeah, I keep a few tings. Champion sound, yeah, I got a few rings, and I'm all over.
High school sports and hip hop. This is the Ricardo Report. Fantastic show that we're having thus far. Producer Jaron Glover is off of the line now. Myself, Chad Ricardo, Monet Anderson, Josh E. Laurie here. Guys, it is time for our top 10. Got a lot of debate over our top 10s. We released them last week, like our taxes. Josh, I don't think you released yours, so you get to start today.
Chad, you retweeted them. Don't even start.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry, brother. Sometimes I just don't want to pick fights with you, but not today, though.
Your age is getting to you.
It is. I'm senile, bro. 10 through 6. Josh E. Laurie, what you got?
All right. At number 10, I've got Lake Braddock. They took a week out of the top 10, but a dominant win, 44-0 at Woodson. The Virginia Woodson, not the D.C. one. It was enough to put them back in there. At number 9, we've got the Dinwiddie Generals, 7-0, 48-12 victory at Prince George. They're playing Colonial Heights this week. At number 8, we've got Archbishop Spalding with your favorite quarterback,
Evan Faulkman.
You know what? I don't even know why I tried to intro you on that one. Yeah, well, anyways, they had a huge victory, 54-14 against Riverdale Baptist, and they're going to be in a clash in the MIAA Conference A against McDonough.
That's right.
At number 7, we've got Damascus. They did what we all thought they would do to Walter Whitman, 42-6. Next week, they're at Magruder. And at number 6, the Wise Pumas. I'm going to stop talking because if I say anything else, I'm going to get myself in trouble.
There we go. There we go. Hey, look, Monet. It's about to. He's getting on board. He's getting on the Puma train.
He is. He's getting on the Puma train. He's getting on that VA train, too.
Well, and speaking of the VA train, we might as well go ahead and open this up to you because eight Virginia high school teams out there, Monet Anderson is about to read your name. Monet, go. You go right on ahead, girl.
Hey, speaking of opening up, I'm broadening my teamosphere. So here we go. Thanks to you, Chad.
Okay.
Number 10, moving on up in my rankings, Archbishop Spalding.
Damn right. Damn right.
So gotta give him credit. Also, number 9, I'm gonna take it down to the 757 Oscar Smith doing their thing at 6-1 as well. Number 8, bringing it back to those old boys in purple, Gonzaga, who came out absolutely amazing this past Saturday, but did not come out with the win at 5-2. Number 7 for me is Colonial Forge, who also had a heck of a game this past weekend at 7-1. My number 6, you again, Chad. I mean, St. Francis Academy.
There we go.
According to you, those boys are doing their thing. You've seen them. You've told us. I believe it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Listen, I get so excited, man, because, you know, like both of you, it's taken a few weeks, man, but little by little, you know, you all's top 10s are rounding into Chad. Form here. I love it.
Can you stop being so...
right?
To think of a PG
so, right? You want me to stop being
self-congratulatory okay. on okay. the podcast?
Okay, deal. Okay, deal. All right, here you go. My 10 through 6. Listen, I want to start off by acknowledging and giving some honorable mention. I've got to, or maybe it's the opposite of that, but I've two teams out
Dad,
of my top 10.
Top 25 list for that.
Two teams out of my top 10. It's my moment. After losses, Gonzaga and McDonough fall out of my top 10. That means two teams out. Yep. Two new teams in.
I want to hate you for that, but I did the same thing.
There we go. You right. And again, it's no disrespect. That's the only reason why I bring it up, Josh, is because I don't want for it. It's not a disrespectful thing. It's just at this point in time of the year, I think that this week a lot of teams separated themselves from being the ones that are going to contend for the title and those that are may finish, you know, a little lower than that. But number 10, nonetheless, again, trying to get back into good graces. Number 10, Good Counsel is back into my top 10. We spoke about this a little bit in the WCAC review, Monet. Reason being for that, you look at those two losses, St. John's. It's never any shame in losing to St. John's. Number 2, you lose to Bishop Sullivan. But Bishop Sullivan, their second loss came to St. Francis. And hey, my respect for St. Francis keeps going up and up. And we'll talk about that a little more in a moment. Number 9, Oscar Smith, 6-1, six consecutive victories, not even coming close. Number 8 moving up two spots with another impressive victory, Bishop Sullivan. They are now at number 8. They've won 3 in a row since dropping those two consecutive ones. Number 7, all the love in the world to this Spalding team. That team is real. We love Riverdale Baptist, love DJ Gallant. They absolutely hammered Riverdale Baptist, like you spoke to, Josh. And Riverdale Baptist, those are not slouches out there. So all the love in the world to Spalding, and Good Counsel beat them as well. So more credit for that. Number 6, Highland Springs from down there in the Richmond area, giving them all the love, all the credit in the world. They have won 4 in a row. Number 5, Josh.
I've got the Woodgrove Wolverines, 7-0. They have been dominant all season. Another big win, 56-22 versus Heritage. They play Parkview next week.
Now, that's the team out there in the Ashburn area, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay.
If my Virginia geography is correct. So I'd say check on MapQuest before anybody...
All right.
bets on that.
All right.
Hold on, Josh. I missed it. Who was the team? I missed it.
Woodgrove. I think that chump. What's you all's cornerback? The one that thinks he's Peter Pan with the bow and arrow. What's his name? The one that Odell Beckham schools all the time. Norman. I think that Norman visited that school. But that's neither here nor there. My number 5 team, the Waz Pumas, an extraordinarily impressive, debacling smash mouth game against Eleanor Roosevelt. They put it on them. Josh said they hadn't played nobody. They played somebody now, and they whooped them. Wise is my number 5, Monet.
And that's why they moved up.
There we go.
And my number 5 is St. John's holding strong right at that number 5, 6-2.
Okay. All right.
Chad, I just want to make a quick point to something you said earlier.
Yes.
Why was Peter Pan the first thing you thought of with the bow and arrow?
You know, Peter Pan is obviously... Thanks for bringing up old stuff, Josh. Thank you for bringing up old stuff.
It was 2 minutes ago, and it just raises a lot of questions.
In my brain, for some reason, Peter Pan had a bow and... Okay, fine, he did it, all right?
Not Robin Hood.
Yeah, that's who I was looking for. Robin Hood! Way to go, Josh. That's what I'm talking... Thank you, man. Look, that's what we say about Josh. He's always got your back.
You too.
Right. My number four team, St. John's. St. John's is my number four team, holding strong. Another huge victory this past week. They've got a bye this week, but St. John's is my number four team. Josh, who you got?
Oh, you gave me a lot of flack for dropping them as low as I did earlier in the season with that loss to DeMatha, but I told you they'd be climbing back up the standings. You win, you rise, you lose, you drop. Oscar Smith Tigers, 6-1, a 6-game winning streak. Another comfortable win, 35-17 at Western Branch. They're going to play Great Bridge in their next game.
That's your number four?
Yes, sir.
All right. Monet, what number? Sometimes, you know, Josh calls me old all the time. I'm getting a little old. What number are you on?
I'm on number four.
Okay, deal. Who's your number four?
Yeah, my number four, I think Josh called them out a little further down. Damascus, 7-0.
There we go. Monet, right. You are on your game today, girl. I got to give it to you. Who's your number three? Keep
on
rolling.
Game. Come on, Chad. Don't be throwing shade like that.
Yeah, you know.
Hater.
Hater.
Stop, you're a hater.
Jeez. Who's your three, Monet?
My three is going to be Brook Point, 7-0. Man, I need y'all on point with Brook. I need you guys to do your research.
I'm not going to lie. You're going to have to give me some background on Brook Point because that's one of the few high schools I have not heard of.
Josh, I thought you had...
You heard Monet's moment last week, Josh. I gave you a whole mouthful on their best player out there. Go back and listen, Josh.
Okay. All right. That's
I'll roll the tape back. Right. The terms are killing me, but I will make the time.
We will make the time. My number three team, Damascus. Damascus hasn't lost in like 5 years at this point. 7-0, 1-7 in a row. They've got Magruder this week. They should be 8-0, but they're number three. They were number two for the last 2 weeks. They're number three this week in my top 10. Josh, three.
St. John's College. I mean, we know they've got one of the most talented rosters in the entire Eastern Seaboard. They've just come up against two really good teams early in the season in IMG and DeMatha Catholic, who, if there was a high school football playoff, I wouldn't be surprised if they met in the Eastern Conference finals.
My only question is that you've got St. John's on a yo-yo, bro. It's like whether they win or lose, you just take them up and down and up and down. I don't understand it.
I literally just told you two teams ago. You win, you rise, you lose, you drop. That's how rankings work.
I agree with that, but so who lost?
What's your argument here then? Are you just being pedantic or do you have a point to make?
I mean, weren't they your number five team last week?
They were five. Yes, they were my number five team.
Right.
But if you remember correctly, my number two team lost.
Okay. Okay. Okay, deal. All right. I'll give you that. Speaking of number two, this is the largest jump in my rankings. The number two team in my top 10 is St. Francis Academy. This is a team that I like to call DeMatha North right now, and that is because if you see these boys play, you will see that they have the quarterback, you will see that they have the running back, you will see that they have the multiple wide receivers. Robinson threw 4 touchdown passes, 3 of them were to Randy Fields. They've got a tremendous defense that punches you in the mouth, and more than anything else right now, they're playing for a reason. Wide receiver Tyree Henry went down, was temporarily paralyzed. Good to see that young man is getting better, and hopefully he will continue to do so. They have dedicated the season to Tyree. I believe that they will go. They play Blakefield this week. They've got a matchup with Spalding on the horizon. This St. Francis team, I'm telling you, is that good. They're that good. Josh.
Yeah, you just called them DeMatha North.
DeMatha North. Somebody quoted and put something on it.
Blasphemous statements on that, and I also want to accuse you of slurping.
Okay.
But I've got them at number two, too, so I really don't have a leg to stand on.
Right. Hey,
here's the thing. I'm not pretending that I've been their biggest fan since day one, like somebody else on this show.
No.
You gotta let guys know that you were the first onto the train that is the St. Francis Panthers.
You know, I kind of spoke them up because I knew that Gilman squad was over there, and, you know, we love McGregor.
No, absolutely. We love McGregor, but Coach Russell out there as well, he's got those boys playing. And look, I don't hold any punches against it. I thought that they were a good team. I interviewed Isaiah Robinson right after week one. I thought they were a solid team, but they played strong against Paramus. They were up at halftime in that game. And then again, I told you, when I saw them play Bishop Sullivan in person, and I saw how physical they were on the offensive and defensive line, and then when I saw this kid, Isaiah Robinson, and just the way that he plays ball, we talked about this a moment ago, but the fact that he is so poised, so calm, you give him the ball in the fourth quarter, he's going to win the game. That is why, after I saw them once, I was riding for St. Francis. Monet, who's your two?
Yeah, and Chad, like I said, we got to get out there and see these kids. Just reading about it, it's not the same.
Absolutely.
But my number two, and I'm so glad that Josh Ilori has gotten on board with Wise. And, you know, he wants to know who they played and blah, 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 blah. Go look at the schedule, Josh.
I did, and I'm still asking who did they play, Eleanor Roosevelt.
They beat the slap out of them. 38-8 victory over Roosevelt. That's Josh. Hey, Josh, 21 straight game win since the 2015 season began. Give it up. They're my number two.
There we go. And my number one, Monet's number one. We're pretty sure it's Josh's number one.
It is. Okay, don't be sarcastic.
The mighty DeMatha Stags. We talk about you guys all the rest of the show, so now we're just going to save a little time. But hey, everybody, just say three DeMatha Stags players' names. Monet, say three of them.
Three DeMatha Stags names: Bo English, Tay Hellums, Corey Sproul.
All right, Grant Donaldson, Miles Marie, and what's the big lineman's name?
Lloyd.
You got four. Josh, you go.
Chase Young.
Well, I wanted to say an offensive lineman. Go, Josh.
Okay, so we've got, of course, Chase Young, who, congratulations to him, just got officially named to the Army All-American Bowl.
Yeah, too bad I said that two segments ago, but go ahead.
Well, I can't be a mind reader, okay? These are things that, you know, you might want to text somebody about.
Okay. Do you have two more?
Yes. He isn't suited up right now, but of course, we can't talk about this DeMatha squad without talking about the best running back in Maryland.
The idea was that you were going to be quick with this, so never mind. Right.
You know what?
Okay. Anthony McFarland.
Again, final, so I'm just going to stop talking.
Anthony McFarland, he was looking for your name, all right? Corey Sproul, Grant Donaldson, Bo English, Victor Oluwatimi, I got an offensive lineman. Marcus Miner, I got an offensive lineman. Austin Fontaine, because that offensive line, they oftentimes are the reason. Zach Lyons as well. That's our top 10. We'll be right back with you as we wrap it up with our pick-ems at the Ricardo Report.
Everybody around me saying I should relax, cause I've been going hard till my eyes roll back. But all I wanna do is forget about my past and smoke a little, really nothing too drastic. Anytime you see me in a picture and I'm smiling, probably cause I'm faded or I'm chilling with the fans. And not really the type to let a nigga talk back, but I'ma let it slide cause my n***a's too violent. Shout out to the ones who spend money like a habit. Even if they had $1 million, they'd be trapping. Got a couple girls shooting movies on the mattress. Then I hit the booth, make the motherfucking sound check. Then I play it back on that 80-inch plasma. Then I get them faded off that super fantastic.
fact that the Ricardo Report, to all of you out there, you would need to hear Joshy Lori kind of behind the scenes. He's got Monet and I cracking up, like,
yes,
at all points.
I didn't tell you about buddy who drove through the hurricane yet, did I?
Okay.
We don't want to lose listeners.
We don't. Let's move on. GYFL, our little homies out there, we want to do a brief recap. A lot of great action out there this past weekend that we saw. I know that I had an opportunity to call a couple of the varsity games. Josh, you did as well. I saw my game. Talk to me about yours.
Okay, well, I came in, got to see a JV game between the Central PA Pride and the DMV Academy. Great game. Game MVP, Jester, the quarterback for the DMV Academy, had a sweet 13th birthday. Just wanted to give him a quick shout out on that.
Brian Jester, big time.
That you were really alluding to, Maryland Heat against the Parkside Shutdown Warriors in the varsity matchup. Great game. Mikey Keene was huge. He had three big touchdown runs. Also, quarterback Dunn in for Austin Tudis, who's still dealing with that injury sustained a couple weeks ago. He was efficient, and hey, you got to give it up, though, because Reginald Proctor Jr. kept the game close for a time for the Parkside Shutdown Warriors, but like it normally happens with the Heat, eventually they just get stops on defense and start keep rolling on offense, and this was in spite of many of their star players sitting down.
Absolutely. Definitely got to give
score. Heat 32, Parkside Shutdown Warriors 13.
Definitely got to give credit to Derek Dunn and stepping in and playing that quarterback position the way that he can. Mikey Keene, running back, fullback, all-purpose player out there. Call him Baby Blake the way that he looks out there. If he ever turns into the ball player that Blake Corum is, which he might, that young man is headed towards fame and stardom as well. A couple of the games that I called Heat JV against Friendship Academy. Heat JV, this is an extraordinarily strong team. Kaylee and Scott look well. Let's see. Darrell Bracey, he looked good as well. Quarterback Wyatt Hagan, though, game MVP, had a couple of touchdowns. Young man was awesome all game long. Also, looking to the varsity level, DMV Academy versus the Nova War Eagles. War Eagles played strong, man. They played extraordinarily hard, but the DMV Academy, they've got a stud out there. Future St. John's player, Gary Rosemond Jr. He had a 65-yard touchdown run. He had an interception. He did it all out there. Gary Rosemond Jr., be on the lookout for that young man's name. And then another battle at the JV level. You had the MoCo Bearcats, coached by Coach Steve, playing extraordinarily strong. They fell in overtime. It was the first overtime GYFL game that I've seen. They fell in overtime to EYT. McConnell, the quarterback for EYT, scored the game-winning touchdown. Moving back to high school, though, it's time for Pick'em Games. We're going to make a decision and say who's going to win the game. We're going to start off with what I like to call the Monet Anderson Bowl. The Monet Anderson Bowl. Monet, we got your two teams from up there in the MIAA division. Mount St. Joe's taking on Calvert Hall. Who you got and why?
You know what, Chad? To me, this is going to be the battle of the coaches. Coach Rich Hoser over there at MSJ and Coach Donald Davis over there at Cal Hall. I like both of these men. They have similar personalities, very friendly, really into their teams, really, really into their teams. It's going to be a battle of who can coach this one out the absolute best. MSJ just came off of a great victory over Loyola, 55-14. These guys over there, they get it done. Christian Carter is the quarterback out there, and this past weekend, he recorded 7 touchdowns, actually total, okay, for the season. So he's about to break a MSJ record. This weekend, 15 of 23 passing for 393 yards and 6 touchdowns, and he ran for a score. Also, giving a shout-out to Gary Eggers, Sam James, Ben Morgan, and Justin Looney over there at MSJ. On the flip side of that, Cal Hall, they just beat Gilman 24-17. I mean, hey, that's Don Davis, that's his guy over there, the AD at Gilman. So I know they were having kind of these cross the field battles going on, but Gilman actually had a sophomore quarterback, Calvert Hall had a sophomore quarterback, Emmett Avery, come in because Ben Brooks, their senior QB, went down with an injury. And on top of that, you got Tyshawn Fogg out there, B.J. Watson, Chance Campbell, Billy Wooten. This is going to be an absolute battle, guys. It's going to be a battle. And, I'm going to take a shoot.
Come on with it.
Man, oh, man. I got to go Cal Hall.
Oh, really?
I
didn't see that one coming.
That is the upset of the century, especially because learning about Ben Brooks' injury, I'm going to have to go with Mount St. Joseph's. Their offense is too explosive, and if it gets to a shutout, I don't know if Calvert Hall can keep up with them.
And I got all the love in the world for Cal Hall, from Coach Davis to Coach Campbell to linebacker Campbell to Tyshawn Fogg to B.J. Watson to all of them boys over there. But I, too, I'm going with Mount St. Joe. Monet, you talk about Gonzaga taking away Darrell's purple. They're going to take away your purple for that. You got the MSJ shirt.
Coach Holzer, me and Coach Holzer, we're going to have a conversation behind this one, I know. But, Chad, Cal Hall has had too many losses in the last couple of weeks. And Coach Davis, he has to do something here. So they need this win.
I believe it. Monet says Cal Hall. Me and Josh say MSJ. Another big-time battle in the MIAA. This one for first place, Spalding at McDonough. We talked about this game earlier. I saw McDonough lose for the second time at home. I will go ahead and say up front, outright, I believe that Spalding takes this game. Evan Faulkman, they've got a big-time linebacker over there. This Spalding team is rolling. They've won. They lost the first game of the season to Good Counsel, a very good Counsel team, and they have rolled over teams ever since. I believe that McDonough is a very talented team, but I believe that they are a year away from reaching their potential, and they have to start having a little bit of doubt creeping into their brain right now. So I say that Spalding beats McDonough. Josh.
Yeah, I can't go against Faulkman and that Cavs offense. Over the last 2 weeks, they've outscored opponents 96-28. The only time they didn't hit 35 points in a game was that opener against Good Counsel. I know PJ Mustafa and the Eagles defense will slow them down, but I don't think you can stop that train.
Monet.
Ditto. Everything that you and Josh just said, Spalding, a little bit more mature, a little bit more chemistry over there at Spalding. I think McDonough next year will probably be their year. I'm going to today have to go with Spalding for this game.
So we're all on Spalding. Dewan Ellis. Dewan is out there licking his chops right now. The whole Team Ellis. Team Ellis, look, I saw them this past week. They didn't want to talk to me too much. I'm like, look, we love them.
Why? Okay, you may need to make it right with your people. That's all I know.
Listen, I the two games that I said that they would lose, they lost. And again, that has nothing to do with Dewan Ellis. A lot of times these games are won in the trenches, man. Dewan Ellis was magical for much against St. Francis. But sometimes it's won and lost in the trenches. Shout out Team Ellis, but we're all on Spalding in this one. Here's the big one, the granddaddy in the WCAC, Gonzaga, coming off of a loss. Actually, Good Counsel's traveling to Gonzaga. Good Counsel with a huge win, Gonzaga with a huge loss. Monet, who do you got in this one?
Man, if I haven't gone out to this game this past weekend, I may be going Good Counsel. Man, Good Counsel is they're going to unfollow me. I'm going to lose parents. But I'm going to have to go Gonzaga on this one. If Gonzaga comes out as they did this past weekend with DeMatha, that is a high caliber team playing right there. Not saying that Good Counsel is not, but that defense, I was standing there talking to Adam Freeman. I'm not going to take a long time on this, of rivals. And Adam pointed out to me, which, Adam knows a lot. He has this whole Mid-Atlantic area. The linebackers, I'm watching this defense of Gonzaga's, and I'm going, what is going on? They're really great out there. And he said, they got a couple of sophomore linebackers out there who are doing it. He said, those guys are going to be nasty by the time they're seniors. And they're getting there right now. So with that defense out there, I got to go with Gonzaga.
Monet's going Gonzaga. You got a score?
I don't have a score. I may when we finish.
Okay. Josh, who you got?
Hey, This is a tough spot for Gonzaga to come and face Good Counsel after an emotional loss. But here's the thing. If Sam Brown is the quarterback who you have been telling me he is, I still haven't gotten to see him in person, so I'm going to reserve judgment. But you have sang his praises for a year and a half now. Is that about right?
That's about right.
Yeah. That if he's a QB who you believe he is, then he'll be able to stand against that ferocious Falcons defense and lead his team to what to do what they got to do. I got them winning by a score. Not sure if it's going to be a field goal or a touchdown, but it's going to be a score drive with theatrics.
It's going to
maybe
be a score.
Movie will be made about it.
That was great. They're going to win by a score. I like it. So you're all okay. I'm going Gonzaga as well. I'm going with Gonzaga. I had just gotten the people of Good Counsel thinking that they could be my friend again. Now I'm just gonna I'm gonna run them away again. But this is all about belief. You know, I'm not a religious man, but I do have faith in Coach T. I've got faith in Tyree Randolph. I've got faith in Max Fisher. And I've got some faith in Sam Brown. He's a GYFL alum. And I believe that this team, after they fell last season to Good Counsel, it kind of fell apart a little bit. I believe that they bounce back. I believe they bounce back after this loss to DeMatha, and that those seniors, they play like their season is on the line, and I think that they get this victory at home by a final score of 17-13. There it is. All right. That's our Pick'em games. Monet, you ready for your moment?
I am ready for my moment. And here I go. Since we've taken up so much time, I'm going to make this brief. But guys, I just had to bring this to the table because I'm not sure if you saw it. But Episcopal, who is 5-0 out there in Alexandria, Virginia, beat Fullis this weekend, 27-13. Now, Episcopal, again, talking with Adam Freeman, he's been watching Episcopal. They have some serious savages over there, Chad. I know you like that word.
I know
you love that savage stuff. They have some serious players over there. Like I said, 5-0. They're averaging 34 points per game. They haven't allowed more than 14 points to be scored against them. On the flip side of that, this past weekend, our boy Damani Neal, 88 yards, 2 touchdowns on 7 carries. But from what I heard, that Episcopal defense is something else. Episcopal also has a running back out there, Paris Jones, carried the ball 30 times for 226 yards and 2 touchdowns. Guys, we got to get out there to see Episcopal. Big up, Episcopal. That has been my Monet's moment. If you like a moment with me, please hit me up at Lady Broadcaster on Twitter.
They've got the big-time commit Luigi. Our boy Luigi is out there as well. Quarterback Seth. Yeah, can't pronounce his last name, but his first name is Seth.
Yeah, absolutely.
Episcopal.
Doing big things over there at Episcopal.
Them boys are real. So we have to get out of here. Want to thank everybody that contributed to the show here today. Rodney Jiggs Johnson, producer Jaron Glover, Josh JVE Lori, and of course you, Miss Monet Anderson. Wait, Darrell Balk Knight as well. And now you, Miss Monet Anderson.
Couldn't do it without my pilot sitting right here putting the key in ignition and getting it started, Mr. Chad Ricardo.
And we want to thank you, and especially you for making us the official source of high school sports in the DMV. For Josh JVE Lloyd, for Miss Monet Anderson, I am Chad Ricardo, and this has been the Ricardo Report.
On 1340 AM, Fox Sports. See you next week.
Happy birthday, Mom.